Good evening to you, and welcome to the show, History and You, with George Rodriguez Walling.
And good evening to everyone, and welcome to History and You, the show where you decide what history becomes. I am your host, George Rodriguez Walling, and I'm very happy to be here with you this evening. If you want to call in and contribute your thoughts, please call toll-free at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Call me and tell me your views, please. If not, send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. You'll find me at www.bbsradio.com/historyandyou. That's www.bbsradio.com/historyandyou. Also, please remember to visit and support my Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube links found on the website as follow-ups to each and every program. Tonight's show is brought to you by the folks at Avcom, where traveling safe always matters and where safe travel is a top priority and guaranteed. Okay, tonight's topic, politics and filibuster. Ah, that filibuster. The famous filibusters that some folks may come to remember. Among some of the more well-known names in American politics, such as Senator Huey Long, the Kingfish Man himself, who debated for his liberal policies in Louisiana for 15 hours in the early 1930s. 15 hours, folks. Stop and think what that means. 15 hours of constant, nonstop talking. How many glasses of water does it take to sustain yourself? What does it take until you just drop on your feet? Well, let's move on to another incredible example. Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina emerges here as a noticeable one. A person who filibustered for, this guy leaves Huey Long behind, he filibustered for 24 hours and 18 minutes. 24 hours. That's an entire solar day. And a little bit more until the man just couldn't do it anymore. And what did he filibuster against? Oh, this is a real whoop-de-doo. Civil rights, of all things. Civil rights. He filibustered against the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1957 because he could not tolerate another person that has a different skin color. Another person who constitutionally has and is entitled to the exact same rights, and yet he spent an entire 24 hours, almost his life, before the man drops just to disallow a black man to become a citizen with equal rights. I mean, does America have racism so visceral, so embedded, so deep in his gut that he just can't help being a racist? Boy, am I glad America, I think, has made huge, huge strides against that. That is extremely powerful, a powerful message of the history of racism that America, unfortunately, used to suffer, hopefully not as much or not any longer. Another wingdinger here on my list of notables for filibusters. Who can forget one of the most notable filibusters of the 1960s when Southern Democratic senators, including Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia, attempted to block unsuccessfully the passage of, once again, the Civil Rights Act, but this time of 1964, by making a filibuster that lasted, get a hold, folks, get a hold, 75 hours. 75 hours, Of course, this is done by teams of senators, not that the actual Robert Byrd was 75 hours on his feet. But there are teams of senators that keep control of the House floor, of the Senate floor. But still, 75 hours, which, by the way, also included a 14-hour and 13-minute stint from Senator Byrd himself, which is quite unbelievable. And once again, against the idea of civil rights. The famous or infamous filibuster, depending on your point of view on the issues, has recently come into the public eye, I don't know if you guys know it or not, with Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. Now, this is the son of the candidate, Ron Paul, that ran for the presidency only recently. Well, this is his son, Rand of Kentucky, Republican, filibustering for 13 hours. 13 hours against what? The CIA appointment of John Brennan in protest of President Obama's policies on the use of drones. What the hell is a filibuster anyway? And what is this one issue on drones got to do with national security? Okay. Well, without having to fill everyone's brains out there now with a bunch of history that'll only serve to take up most of the time in the show, let me first tell you what it is. And second, what the purpose of a filibuster has for many senators in Congress fighting for issues that they support. Okay. First of all, what is it? Well, a filibuster is a practice that senators in Congress have available to them, which involves an opportunity, as well as a legal right, to speak limitlessly. That's right, that's what I said, to speak limitlessly on an issue that a particular senator feels or may feel very strongly about. Hence, this is the reason why we've had Rand Paul talk limitlessly for 13 hours, Huey Long for 14 hours, this other guy, Strom Thurmond, for what, how many hours? 14 hours and 13 minutes. Okay, so they speak uninterruptedly for an endless amount until physically they just can't go on anymore. Okay? Furthermore, he or she, this is the filibustering senator, can speak without any time constraints as long as the senator keeps control of the Senate floor. Also, if during the filibuster, enough senators on the opposing side of the issue form a coalition of senators, of 60 senators at minimum, in voting to end a filibuster, then the filibustering senator would be considered choked off and comes to an end. This method of ending a filibuster is normally called cloture. Okay? So, that's what it is. That's what it involves. Now, what is the purpose of a filibuster? Well, hell, that's easy. Simple. A senator filibusters to block the passage of a particular piece of legislation or a bill that runs contrary to that senator's interests, those of his constituency, those involving national security, or those involving foreign interests, or even a combination of all these things. The senator is hoping that by endlessly talking about either the issue in question, reading names out of a phone book, which is what Huey Long did in part, by the way, or reciting recipes out of a cookbook, which Huey Long was also known to do, the action of, and this is really important, I want to repeat, the action of holding the floor without any chance at cloture from the opposing side is expected to hold up the Senate's ongoing business of considering other bills and issues to the point where opposing senators will decide that's enough and give up the fight by dropping the bill that's being filibustered. So in other words, you want to discourage people from holding on to an issue that a filibustering senator feels very strongly against. And hopefully, the opposing side will simply throw in the towel and consider it a fight for the day. And that's it. They quit. You win. We will not push for this bill that you feel so strongly against. It's strategy. There's no doubt. But there's also a motive for doing such things. Does the strategy, more often than not, work? No. Not really. Because cloture will usually choke off any chance at a filibuster gaining public support early in its development. However, whenever there's been a threat or a rumor in the Senate of a filibuster, senators from both sides have always made it a point to settle the issue early. A big motive for diffusing the threat is also to save the days of a congressional recess, or in other words, vacation time, folks, if the Senate's business gets too backed up on account of a filibuster, or the potential that a filibuster may have in really backing up the Senate's business, needing to stay in the Senate in session, and of course doing away or pushing behind more and more the recess time here. And of course, what surrounds this whole process by shrouding it with personal interest and unpredictability is, of course, politics. In reality, it's hardly ever about the good of the many or the so-called, quote, public good, unquote. Instead, it's all about interests versus the threats to those interests, which brings me to the issue of Senator Rand Paul, the purpose of his 13-hour filibuster, and the question of national security. But first, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with politics and filibuster. Okay, let's take a quick pause here for the participants who wish to call in with questions or comments. My number is toll-free 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Or just send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let me also mention a quick word about the Valley of Avcom. Airline companies, please listen up. This is a company that truly makes flying the safest and fastest way to travel. And the folks here at Avcom really do go out of their way to make sure all your destinations are met. What do these folks do? Well, they make sure that all instruments on commercial airliners are in proper working order, and we know how important that can really be. They also maintain all flight systems according to federal government codes and regulation standards. And why do airlines pay attention to Avcom? Well, Avcom is one of the largest third-party automatic test equipment operators in Miami. We provide avionics and component repairs, defect rectifications, schedule maintenance, and overhaul modifications of avionics. They are also an FAA, EASA, and pending CAAC-approved repair facility that have been in business for over 25 years. They are an approved repair station for GMF, Air Transit, Air Wisconsin, Boeing, Calm Air, Delta, ExpressJet, Allegiant Airlines, KLM, Lufthansa, Monarch, Saab, SkyWest, used to be U.S. Airline, now American Airlines, Iceland Air, etc. Avcom operates in 17 automatic test equipment systems and is an approved vendor for 95% of domestic and international carriers. They have a warranty rate also of less than 1%. Now, get a load of this. They are a one-stop avionics repair shop,
specializing in all three manufactured TCAS systems. In addition, they have a TCAS antenna repair program, a flat rate of $1,895, no evaluation fee, designed so you can evaluate the cost benefits of repairing versus replacements. They do repair all overhaul high-end avionics manufactured by Bendix, King, Honeywell, Rockwell, Collins, ACSS, Smiths, Thales, and BAE in current production for Airbus, Boeing, Douglas, CRJ, and ERJ aircraft. They offer a superior service and the fastest turnaround time possible. They would be very, very pleased if they would allow you a quote for the next repair. So please call these folks at the local number in Miami, 305-436-0300. That's 305-436-0300. Or you can also check them out at the web. That's www.avcom-avionics.com. That's www.avcom-avionics.com.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing green to red. Turning over TV stations, situations running through my head.
Okay, we're back. At issue is something that should concern all of us as citizens of this country, whether national security outweighs our rights as citizens, whether national security outweighs our rights as citizens. Rand Paul was filibustering against the Senate's appointment of John Brennan as head of the CIA. And why? Well, because John Brennan's expected to support and implement President Obama's policy on the use of drones. And his use of drones has been interpreted to mean an arbitrary use, let me repeat that, an arbitrary use without much regard given to innocent American citizens who might just get killed in the process. The problem is centered on the fact that terrorists are clandestinely embedded in our society, in any and many of our banking institutions, in our government agencies, in our schools as teachers and teacher aides, administrators, and God knows what else, in our churches or other places of worship, in our legal institutions, like local police departments, social clubs, and only God knows how many other places. The point is well taken by the White House, however. But for national security purposes, the CIA under John Brennan wants to use these armed drones to locate, search and destroy any and all domestic community terrorist cells in our country at the cost of some American lives. The way they see it, the predicted number of American dead would have to be accepted as casualties of war. Man, that's a big cost. Well, no, that's not acceptable. The president was known to say in a recent public appearance, and I quote, "I haven't killed any American yet at home, and that I don't intend to do so, but I might," unquote, is not only alarming, but legally it does seem to go against the president's oath of office. And it would also seem to violate a citizen's domain in pursuing his right to life, right to liberty, right to property, and his overall pursuit of general happiness, not to mention feeling secure from unreasonable searches and seizures in his own home. Does that sound familiar, folks? Well, it should, It's the Fourth Amendment, protection against unreasonable searches and seizures. Drones, folks, drones. But why should this surprise people? After all, a plurality of this country did vote to re-elect this man back into power, right? Well, this has always been a president with a penchant or a tendency to stretch the boundaries of the Constitution to the point of venturing into terra incognita without much regard or remorse to consequences. That could be a problem, folks. That could be a problem. Steve Vladicek, I believe I'm spelling his name right. Vladic, I believe it is. Steve Vladic, a law professor at American University, made the defending claim, I would call it, that he thought the Obama administration would never use that kind of authority unless absolutely warranted, and only under extreme conditions, such as those experienced, of course, on 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. But there are no guarantees offered, and Obama's statements also invite the possibility of exceptions that are not necessarily considered remote either, but rather immediate and tangible, which, under this scenario, can also leave the public feeling quite unsettled as to whether national security or the Obama agenda for using drones outweighs or is more important than our rights as citizens. Interestingly, Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas posed a hypothetical to Attorney General Eric Holder, wanting to know if an individual who is sitting quietly somewhere in a cafe having coffee, would the Constitution allow an American citizen on U.S. soil to be killed by a drone? Helder's response was that he didn't think a person under those conditions could even be arrested. Then why take the legal risk of using drones in America? Why take the risk in the first place? You know, it'll be interesting to see the results of Senator Richard Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, who will produce in the April hearings when he explores the legal authority of using drone strikes in relation to the legal protections of American citizens. What he will produce from those April hearings will be very, very interesting. Which brings us now to the question of national security. What is it? This is a complicated concept because it involves many things, some tangible, some intangible, that are designed to ensure the survival, the interests, and the overall viability of the state through various measures of protection, all with the intent of enhancing the predominant presence of the state as an international organ, as an international player, in relation to the positions of other states also vying for power as well. So in less fancy language, security at the national level is nothing more than protective measures that our federal government takes to ensure the legal and public safety of our citizens. They claim they use drones to protect us from embedded terrorists in our country, but they also expose us to the kill. Let's take another visit at that kill after we take a quick break. Let's take another quick pause here for our audience in case you are joining us late.
If you wish to call in with questions or comments, please, the number is toll-free, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Or just send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let me also mention a quick word about the value of AVCOM. Airline execs and airline companies, please listen up. This is to your straight interest. This is a company that truly makes flying the safest and the fastest way to travel. And the folks here at AVCOM really do go out of their way to make sure that all your destinations are met. Folks, I've been there, and they have a huge facility. And they go out of their way to do whatever they can to make flying the safest experience possible. What do these folks do in particular? Well, they make sure that all instruments on commercial airliners are all in proper working order. If you are on a business trip or going anyplace else, you know, I don't have to tell you how important that really is. They maintain all flight systems according to federal government codes and regulation standards. And why do these airlines pay attention to AVCOM? Well, AVCOM is one of the largest third-party automatic test equipment operators in the Miami area. AVCOM is a part of 145 FAA, EASA, and CAAC approved repair facility, and they've been in business, folks, for over 25 years. Operating in 17 automatic test equipment systems, it is widely considered as one of the largest third-party ATE operators in the entire world. AVCOM provides repairs, overhauls, modifications to nearly every high-end avionics system and associated components. They have been approved avionics repair station for many of the world's airlines and MROs, Aero Turbine, AeroSail, Air Transit, Air Wisconsin, Allegiant, Aloha Air Cargo, Boeing, Capital Cargo, Comair, Delta, just to name a few, and it goes on and on. ExpressJet, GE, CAS, Iceland Air, ILFC, Kellstrom, KLM, Lufthansa, Saab, and it goes on, folks. Why use AVCOM? They offer superior customer service and the fastest turnaround time possible. With an industry-leading overall average TAT, 9 calendar days, and a warranty rate of less than 1%. That's what I said, less than 1%. There's a 24-hour AOG support telephone at 305-436-0300 with current tag exchanges ready to go. This is a one-stop avionics shop. We repair current production avionics manufactured by ACSS, BAE, Bendix King, Honeywell, Rockwell, Collins, Smiths, and Thales for aircraft manufactured by Airbus, Boeing, Bombardier, Douglas Embraer, and Gulfstream. They have a licensing agreement with avionics equipment manufactured, including Honeywell, Rockwell, Collins, ACSS, Smiths, and Thales. They specialize in repairs to all three manufactured TCAS systems. AVCOM has a TCAS antenna repair program with a flat rate of $18.95 and a low $75 evaluation fee designed so that you can evaluate the costs, benefits of repairing versus replacement. They custom tailor schedule maintenance programs and technician training for any, that's any size operation. So please do call these folks at 305-436-0300. Call them at 305-436-0300. Or please, you can check them out at the web at www.avcom-avionics.com. That's www.avcom-avionics.com.
Okay, and we are back. We were talking about drones and how they are really threatening our lifestyle here to the point where we're beginning to wonder whether Obama is really protecting us the way he should or not. A couple of years back, God help you. Really, God help you if you boarded a plane with any kind of knife, any kind of a blade, any kind of a sharp or pointed instrument. TSA would have hung you by your jewels. Now you can bring a knife on board without a problem. Go figure. But no toothpaste, no yogurt. I don't know. Go figure. No toothpaste, no yogurt, but you can bring a knife on board. Does that make sense to you? And all in the name of national security. But nobody ever said security makes sense in the same way that intelligence is not always smart or that common sense is not very common. National security has become such a transformed product from the concept it once was that nobody knows what it is anymore. Nobody knows what to do with it anymore. So what have we got today? Now we've got drones to deal with. We've got a president who won't tolerate being questioned too much because then he gets mad. What else have we got? We got a Congress who can't come to terms on critical issues, so they consider a filibuster as an attention grabber. We've got states that use the concept of federalism to do what they wish, because all they see coming from Washington is a fractured capital ruled by the guile of powerful politicians doing nothing with their positions of influence except feeding their greed for more money and more power. What else have we got? We got sustaining an entitlement nation through costly programs as our government encourages more dependency by removing the incentive to work. Wonderful. What else have we got? We got a national debt that is unquestionably out of any and all control, and a spending spree that is nothing less than myopic and erratic. What else have we got? We got gas prices going through the roof. Gas prices that are what? $3.70, $3.90 a gallon, $4 something a gallon. We got food prices going through the roof. We got unemployment, which I understand has gone down from a 9 point something to 7.7. But I'm wondering if this is unemployment or underemployment, where people now are working part-time because they're feeding off the government and their entitlement program. We have a flat housing market. Come on. Really, folks? Are we really better off with Obama? How has he improved the quality of our lives? Tell me. How many more times do we need to have him hear the blame to the Bush administration? I mean, even if you're not a Bush supporter, just by the factor of time, the number of years that have already come by, how many times do we have to hear him blame the Bush years? Come on, folks. Common sense. Remember? Common sense. Holy God. Okay. Well, now that we've come to the final part of our show, where I wish to leave you with a final thought to consider, and a final thought to reflect, and a final opportunity to reflect on the signs of our times. Rand Paul's filibuster a few days ago was a symptomatic expression of something much larger and much more alarming than just the 13-hour rant itself. It's a message that's bleeding, and no one is attending the wounds of the nation. America is in a dire and confused state. And why? Because it has no leadership. No leadership of the kind necessary to pull people together, to harness the strength and the resources of what we are, to force and rebuild our priorities. America doesn't have that today. Instead, what has it got? It has a president that's hard to respect because he fragments issues, because he divides people with rhetoric of class warfare to incite ill will against one another. It is a man who currently occupies the Oval Office and pretends to care, but only about his own arrogance, which refuses to recognize the presidential incompetence that has given us the birth of financial disaster for all. I think we can do much better in 2016. I think we have to do much better. I think that if we don't make that extra effort to re-examine ourselves as a people, we're going to get into deeper and deeper trouble. And we're going to sink ourselves. Think about that. Think about that. Reflect on that, if only for a moment, to reconsider our political position, our economic standing, our social integrity as a people. In what direction are we heading to? That would depend on what we decide to do about our condition now, today. Join me again next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for another moment of insight by visiting my website at www.bbsradio.com/historyandyou. And also, please remember to visit and support my Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube links found on the website as a follow-up to each and every program. As your host for this evening's show, this is George Rodriguez Walling wishing all of you a very pleasant evening.